All right, it is Sunday morning, and we bring in the professor. Whoa, how are you?
Well, Marty, top of the morning to you. To take a page from your book, I'm sitting here where your cardboard cutout used to be. A great position to talk to the third base coach, and I'm watching Greg Elliott and his grounds crew staff work the field. You know, they got those long 2-foot rakes, and they're working on the lip between the grass and the dirt so we don't get any bad hops. And of course, they're working on the mound to get that ready. We got the John Deere tractors getting a fresh cut on the grass. And it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. A slight breeze heading out from right field towards center field. And you can't have a better morning here in San Francisco.
Ah, beautiful. Al Roker giving the weather report. Very nice in San Francisco. Hey, but you did get to come in this morning with the strawberries and the hot dog buns and everything else, right, Will?
No doubt about it. Yeah, the hot dog buns. I didn't see any rutabaga. I'm not sure if we sell that here, but I did see hot dog buns and all the stuff. You know, it's getting back to normal, you know, the deliveries and entrances into the ballpark. So things are looking good.
How was it at the opener, having fans there and, of course, the introductions and everything else? What was that? What was that like?
Well, it's a difference. It's a night and day difference. Look, this game was played. It was developed, and we played this game in front of fans every time we've been on the field, whether it's 10,000 or there's 50,000. And that's the way it's supposed to be played. I can't tell you how much better it is, even with 10,000 fans in the stands, you know, doing your job out there. They bring energy. They bring support. And they bring atmosphere. And quite frankly, we didn't have any of that last year. You know, the sounds over the PA speakers of the crowd just didn't get it done. And it's great to see people. You get to say hello. You know, it's a human game. And I'm so happy that fans are back in the ballpark. And I see some places in the country, they have full stadiums.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching some games from Texas, and you'd think there was no pandemic anywhere. I mean, there's no masks, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see where it all goes. But you guys actually have a trip coming up. You'll be going to Miami.
Yeah, we'll be going to Miami and then and on to Philly. And, you know, Florida is one of those states that's pretty open. So I haven't looked at any of their attendances there. But you know what? To be here in San Francisco and have our fans in the ballpark, there's nothing better than that.
Well, opening day is a time for people to step up, and Posey and Cueto really stepped up. What a combination. Cueto fielded his position, that bunt early in the game was a great play, but he's a master, and it was a big moment, and Johnny Cueto rose to the moment.
Yeah, you know what? We're very fortunate to have him. You need veterans like Buster and Johnny on your club, just to show the young guys and the guys trying to establish themselves what it's all about and how to go about it. And, of course, their performance, you know, they're major leaguers. And he rose to the occasion opening day. It was a great opening day for us. Obviously, we won the game, but a great ball game, pitching duel until the Rockies pitchers walked a few people, and we took advantage of that with Crawford's big hit. But, you know, Johnny, that's what he can do. And, you know, he's going to be one of those guys that we need this year. You know, to stop a losing streak or to make sure that we get that win when he goes on the mound. So he's real important to us. He's been doing it for a long time, and he still has it. He knows how to pitch. He changes speeds. He locates. He can read a swing. He's kind of a throwback in the fact that, you know, a lot of the pitchers we have today, they're looking for guys that throw 95, 96 and don't necessarily locate. And Johnny's a pitcher. He, even with his good stuff, he's always been a pitcher, and he's still doing that.
You know, and he helps him in the running game, too. And we'll talk about Posey and what he did yesterday, two great throws. But when you have Cueto on the mound, he can pick you off if you're not watching.
No doubt. He does everything. Like you mentioned, the bunt. He, you know, he saw that bunt. He busted off the mound. He anticipated it when they saw the hitter square to bunt. Made a great play there. And he's quick to the plate, so he's hard to run on. And he'll set you up. I mean, if you're a base stealer over there, he'll go quick to a plate a couple times, and he'll hold the ball, and boom, he'll pick you off. He's picked off a lot of players here. So it's great to have a guy like that on the mound, not just pitching, but his whole mound presence in controlling the game.
How about Posey yesterday? Well, with the two throws to second base, and it looked like the bags were stolen.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I didn't think when Hampson took off, who's the fastest guy on their club and one of the fastest in the league, he got a great jump off of Webby, and I didn't think we had a chance to throw him out. And Buster did what Buster does. He came up and threw a rocket right on the money and got him. You know, there's so many things that he does for the team, whether it's offensively, but just defensively. You know, this team over there, the Rockies, they're trying to push the envelope. You know, they lost Arenado. They don't have the offense they once did. They have some speed. They tried to steal four bases yesterday. They got two. And Buster made some great throws and threw them out twice. But, you know, when teams run like that, his presence behind the plate, a lot of teams aren't going to attempt it. It's like when you had Pudge Rodriguez or Benito Santiago by the plate, behind the plate. They'll think twice. So his calmness, his experience, I already see a big, big difference in the pitching staff with him behind the plate, you know, trusting the fingers that he puts down and the leadership that he brings in calmness to the pitching staff. So he's just, it's so good to have him back.
It is. Hey, well, let's talk about Crawford a little bit. The big hit on Friday. And then yesterday, he was 0 for 10 against left-handers. And, you know, Bud Black made the moves he's supposed to make. He's got a lefty on the team. And the guy comes in, and he's got a 3-1 lead. And he walks Dickerson. He walks Flores. And here comes Crawford. And it was a deep count. And he got a pitch down and in and knocked it out. And a 3-run homer. And you guys win 4-3. Craw is unbelievable. He's unbelievable. As I said the other day, he gets more out of his batting average than any hitter I've seen.
Yeah, no, you're right. I remember when he first came up, Marty. I mean, because of his ability to play defense, we all said, you know, the baseball people said, you know, if he hits 250, we'd be happy with that average. And he has well exceeded 250. Not only for average-wise, to your point, not that he hits 300, but he gets so much out of his average because of the RBIs. You think back, was it 3 or 4 years ago, 84 RBIs led our team, you know, being the shortstop on the club. And he comes up with these big moments. He's clutch. He grinds every day. You know, you're not going to lose, you know, that defense is going to be steady every day that he's out there and he settles down the infield. But at the plate, how many big moments has he had for us? I mean, he won that game yesterday with the 3-run home run. And how about the playoff game in Pittsburgh when he hit the grand slam? And I remember when Craw came up day one in Milwaukee and his first at bat, he hit a home run there in Milwaukee. And, yeah, he had a little bit of a loop in his swing, and he had some things mechanically he had to work out. But you know what? He had a good eye at the plate. He could adjust to the breaking ball. And you knew he was going to be a good player with his ability to play defense. And he's really matured into one of the foundations of our championships and of this club still today.
Yeah, he is. You know, well, it reminds me of a player, you know, players when I grew up at shortstop. You know, we didn't have the A-Rods in those days or the Nomars or the Tejadas or the shortstops who would hit third and, you know, hit 40 home runs. But we had guys like Tony Kubek or Tom Tresh or Jim Fregosi or Dick Groat or people like that. And they were MVP-type players, but they didn't have these tremendous numbers. He, to me, is a throwback to that kind of player. He's just a smart, smart ball player. And that's how I see him.
Yeah, you're right. I think that sums him up perfectly. You know, I mean, everybody's looking for the, you know, all the home, like Tatis. There's a lot of, you know, real talented guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. But Craw doesn't make mistakes on defense. He's so reliable. And I know for me, being the infield coach for all these years and having these big playoff games, you know, he settles the infield down. Whenever somebody else was in there, I wasn't as confident. He's a leader in the infield. He just settles the thing down, and he's so reliable and so good. And, you know, you don't get paid for that today, right, Marty? They used to get paid to play defense, but today everybody looks at the offense. And so I think he's underrated in so many ways, and I'm glad he's off to a good start.
Yeah, I'm glad we can highlight him today. Rico Petrocelli, that's someone from the time that you grew up. You know, one of those shortstops that you were glad he was in the game and he got stuff done. So that's Craw, which made me think about something else. And that is infielders going to the mound to talk to pitchers. Now, I know Logan Webb needs to be calmed down every once in a while when the game gets away from him a little bit. But you were a shortstop. Are infielders encouraged to go to the mound and talk to pitchers? And did you do it? And how does it happen today?
Well, you know, years ago, you had a lot more of that. Today, they charge you with a trip to the mound. You're not supposed to go in there, right? So it's a little bit different. But the only time the infielders seem to come in is when the catcher goes out, and there's always already a trip to the mound. So, you know what? Everybody did it years ago. And, you know, when one of your peers comes in and talks to a pitcher, you know, the pitchers take heed to that. You know, a lot of times it's better than the pitching coach going out. It's your peer. It's your teammate. And the guys on the field, they see what the pitcher's doing. Say he's nibbling and walking guys. You know, they'll come in sometimes and say, hey, look, you know, get after it. Attack these guys. Whatever it is. And usually the infielders that come in, they're dead on because they know their teammate, they know his personality, and most of the time it's better than the pitching coach coming out and saying something to him. It goes a long way. So, you know, people did it all the time, and it's very effective, and it's a shame that all those things are limited today with all these new rules.
Did you go to the mound a lot when you played?
Not a lot, but certain guys. I didn't go to the mound when I was a rookie, and Kent DeColvey was on the mound, or John Candelaria, I'll tell you that. But, you know, when you're more of a veteran on the field and you have a younger pitcher, I think there's so much advice that you could give them, whether it's calming them down or give them a little pep talk or whatever it is. And, you know, I did it more in the minor leagues. I didn't have enough games in the big leagues to do it, Marty, but in the minor leagues, I certainly did it a lot.
I love the Bob Gibson quote. I think McCarver or Mike Shannon or someone came to the mound, and, you know, Gibson liked to work, and he said, look, get out of here. The only thing you know about pitching is you can't hit it. And, you know, he didn't want anybody. There are pitchers who don't want to be bothered. I imagine that's the case.
Yeah, well, you're right. I could tell you right now, Marty, if Kelby Tomlinson went in to tell Bumgarner something, he would have got halfway there, and Bumgarner would have gave him a stare, and he would have went running back to second base. So there's no question. You don't mess with certain pitchers, but you got to know the guys you can go talk to.
Boy, that's funny. Hey, one record that was set last night, and I bring it up to you, LoCastro from Arizona, and I had no idea that this record was even in jeopardy, but to start his career, he has stolen 28 straight bases, and it broke the record of Tim Raines of 27, and his baseball is so romantic. Tim Raines was his first coach with the Blue Jays in 2013, so he broke Tim Raines' record. But, boy, LoCastro, he kind of came out of nowhere for me, Bo.
Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't have known that. I know when we play against them, he's one of the fastest guys on the team. He's a real good base stealer, but he's not an everyday player either. That's what makes it even more impressive. You know, he's a spot player, and to have 28 straight, that's really impressive. And, you know, he's got a little bit of help over there, not to take anything away from him, but I know Dave McKay, the first base coach for the Diamondbacks, is one of the best in the game over there, helping the runners with tips on the pitchers or helping them when to steal. You have Dave McKay in the game today. Davey Lopes was one of the best over there helping guys. And we had a great one here as well, and Roberto Kelly, when he coached first base for us. Those guys can make a real difference in helping the guys run. But again, I just wanted to point that out, but not to take anything away from LoCastro, who broke that record. I could see why. He has that kind of speed. He's one of the top runners in the league today, and he'd probably do a lot more damage if he got to play every day on the bases. But he's kind of a platoon and spot player.
I remember he got hit a lot, too. Every time he was up there, he got hit and got on base. That was one way he got on. He was one of those guys. What does a first base coach do to help? What you point out a lot of good people. What can they do?
Well, the first thing they do is they study the pitchers. So, you know, they'll he'll give the runners the tips. Maybe he moves his shoulder first. Maybe he comes set. He drops his head before he goes home. They'll pick up the tips. But in the moment when they're out on the field, you know, you can tell when a guy's throwing over and you can't, just because these guys have had so much experience. You know, when you're on the bases yourself, the last thing you want to do is get picked off or screw up. You know, you don't want to make a mistake. And when you're the coach on the side, you know instantly if the guy's coming over, if he's going home. And a lot of times they'll just tell him when to run. They'll tell him, hey, go on this pitch, or he'll come set, and they'll say go when he's set, because they can sense that he's not coming over. It's the experience of being involved in that many games and knowing the pitchers. I mean, we can look at guys that are in the game. I can tell whether they can handle runners or not just by their mannerisms on the mound. You know, so many guys can't deal with the runners today. So a coach picks up on those things because they've been doing it for so long.
Mm. Well, they want the stolen base back in the game, so maybe we'll see some more of it. We saw four shots yesterday with Colorado. Let's go to school with the professor. Alex Dickerson ran himself into an easy out at third base the other day. We don't see that too often. What happened there?
Yeah, well, Alex had one of those moments that we all have at some point in time in our career. And basically when the ball was hit, he thought it got to the wall. He didn't see Tapia cut it off. So he thought it was against the wall, and he was thinking about scoring. And I don't know what happened there, but he put his head down, and he was going as hard as he could. And, of course, when Tapia had the ball, he made a good throw and got him out at third base. And Dick's a very good base runner. He's not the fastest base runner, but he's a very good base runner on this team. He's into it. He's very astute. He usually gets good reads, and he's engaged. And that was not our Alex Dickerson. I don't know if there was a full moon last night or what, but that is not atypical of what he does on the bases.
You know, I watch enough games, God, my whole life. And I'll tell you something. You're the third base coach. It's that runner on third, and the ground ball is hit to first or third, and deciding whether to go or not. And we see it come up. I think you've had one instance already this year where maybe the guy should have gone and he didn't go. I think it's one of the toughest plays in baseball to determine what to do.
It is. I mean, usually when there's a man on third and less than two outs, you know, usually with nobody out at the infield's in, you don't send him because you don't want to make the first out at home plate when, you know, if he doesn't drive you in with a hit or a sac fly. You know, you have the next batter could get you in. But it's with one out, when you have to decide, typically you're either going on contact, which means that, you know, as soon as you see the ball down, the angle down on the swing with the ball coming off the bat, you take off and you try to beat the play. Or you make it go through. And then there's one in between. When you're making it go through, we say read it. So we say, look, you know, you're going to make it go through, but if there's a swinging bunt or a little tapper, you know, down the third baseline or first baseline, and you get a good jump, you can go ahead and go, and you leave it up to the player's instinct to make that determination. And, you know, the instincts of the players, they're all over the board, and some guys are real good at it and some guys aren't. So some guys, you wouldn't put it in their hands. You would just say, hey, make the ball go through. And the guys that have the good instincts, you give them more leeway to make their decisions.
Oh, good point. Hey, we'll wrap it up with this. What happened to the fastballs? I watched Darvish and Aaron Sanchez the other night, and Darvish gave up a home run on a fastball, and he didn't throw another one after about the third inning. And Sanchez was curveball crazy and a great curveball. But I thought you have to establish the fastball, don't you? But the league has turned into breaking pitches.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that was the number one thing. Establish your fastball, command your fastball. You got to be able to throw the fastball down and away when you need a strike. The game has changed so much in that regard, and it's the statistics. It's the numbers. I remember, you know, Felipe and all the managers I've ever had worked alongside, and, of course, myself, I felt the same way. If you can't hit the fastball in the big leagues, you're not gonna be a big league hitter. You know, Lance Niekro, he was one guy that had a hard time with the fastball. He was a little tardy, and you know, that's gonna eat you up. But today, they're going to the breaking ball because statistically, guys don't hit it as well. And again, they're going to the pitches that aren't hit as hard or they're not put in play as much. You see it around the league. Colorado, I've never seen them throw so many breaking balls yesterday behind in the count. So the game has changed in that regard. It's more about the pitches that are effective for the pitcher and the pitchers, the pitch that if you're in a 2-0 count, you would always expect a fastball, right? But not anymore. You may get a breaking ball on off-speed pitch. So it is changing, Marty. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, the National League has turned into the American League years ago. It's really, I watch it every day, and I can't believe it. Well, you got DeSclafani today and Marquez. Marquez has given the Giants trouble in the past, and DeSclafani pitched great against San Diego.
Yeah, no, you're right. Tony did a nice job for us, so he's getting another chance today, obviously, and expect good things from him. You know, all our starters have done a great job of keeping us in the game, so hopefully he can do that because he's got a tough opponent in Marquez. He's been tough on us. In the last two games he pitched against us, I believe, we didn't do very much. He's got good stuff. He knows how to pitch, and he's a tough nut for us to crack. So we'll see. That's why we play the game, and hopefully we'll string together a good inning like we have the last 2 days. And if it's a close game, we got to come on top of the close game. We got to win the close game.
Well, you are. Well, it's great to talk to you. Have a great trip to Miami. We'll talk to you next weekend. And it's baseball. And you got your first 8 games down. Giants doing well. You got a nice pitching rotation. Bullpen's coming around. You can pitch and you can catch the ball. And those are 2 of 3, and that's usually a winning game. So, well, take care of yourself, and I'm glad to have you on as always.
Marty, great to be with you. Is there anybody down there at your old stomping grounds you want me to say hello to when I'm in Miami?
Boy, that's a good, my sister's Renee in Maryland. I may have to, have them give you a call. Absolutely. And, of course, you got Joe Stonecrab. If it's still open, I'm not even sure it's still open.
Well, if I could get in that restaurant, I'd go for you and let the family know that we'll be there, and maybe we'll see him at the ballpark again.
Beautiful. Thanks, Will. Have a great trip. Talk to you then.
Okay, Marty. Bye-bye.
All right, that is our third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, Ron Wotus. Johnny Doskow is coming up with Bill Lasky next, and then Robbie Thompson is going to join Bill. We've got another real nice couple of segments coming up for you. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.